Our wonderful Father, we thank you this morning because you are good and because your mercies endure forever. Thank you for your goodness and your mercies upon our lives since this month began. Lord, we testify today that we have been blessed. And that is why we look up to you much more in faith and in confidence that much more than you have done for us in the preceding weeks, that this morning again, that you will reach out unto us in a new and living way in the name of Jesus. Lord, we open up our hearts to receive your word, the engrafted word of liberty. Holy Spirit of God, our teacher, we invite you to come and teach us. Let our eyes be open to see deep and wonderful things in your word. Let your word mix with faith in us. Let your word do us good. Let your word be a blessing to our soul. Let it enrich our lives so that our lives will bring you glory and honor and will continue to praise your name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we pray. This morning, by the grace of God, I am ministering on the topic, Give Up to Go Up. And by the grace of God, I am taking my text from the book of Genesis. First, we are going to read chapter 12, and then we are going to move on from there. But please, let's turn first to Genesis chapter 12, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 5. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, Get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had got in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now let's move on in that same book of Genesis and turn to chapter 22, and let us read from verse 1 to verse 18. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleft the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place far off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide all of you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the position of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Let's read two more passages of scripture, and then we'll go into the heart of the message. Let's turn to the gospel according to St. Luke, and we're going to read chapter 18, and from verse 18 to 30. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why call ye me good? None is good, save one, that is God. You know the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, all this have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lack you one thing. Sell all that you have, and distribute unto the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed you. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. And lastly, let us read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and from verse 19 all through to verse 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know that we have already been taught that giving is a major door to divine visitation. But then we're beginning to see from the word of God this morning that giving in itself requires faith. Givers are men and women of faith, because giving is God's sole prescription for a life of faith. In other words, you cannot be a giver if you are not a man or a woman of faith. Because giving in itself is prescribed by God to deal with this problem of lack of faith. And that's why you can see in one of those stories, that rich young ruler who came to Christ, and he was asking, what should I do to inherit eternal life?
And then he said he has kept all that the laws of Moses required of him. But Jesus Christ told that young man that he lacked one more thing. And then he was asked to go and sell all the things that he had. Take note, Jesus said he should sell all, everything, not remaining one. He was asked to sell everything. So if he sells everything, what will he do with the money? Jesus said he should go and distribute the money to the poor. And you know that it is going to take faith for somebody to obey that type of instruction. Because then you ask yourself, so if I sell all that I have got and I distribute the money to the poor, how am I going to live? How am I going to cope? How am I going to survive? Jesus wanted to teach that man not to look at himself anymore, but to look to God. Not to trust himself any longer, but to trust God to make daily provisions for him. By and by, you will see that a lot of us who find it difficult to give, it is because we lack faith to trust God that God is going to meet our needs and that God is going to provide for us. So that was a hard lesson that Jesus wanted that young rich ruler to learn, because he perceived that he has been depending so much and too much on his wealth and riches. Those who give demonstrate that they have surrendered their lives and handed over their future to God, and so trust him to provide for them and meet their needs. The day you gave your life to Christ, we admonished you. We encouraged you to give your life to Christ, to surrender your life to Christ. But a lot of us, after that day, although we say we have been born again, we have given our lives to Christ, but we are still doing so much to guard our lives, to protect ourselves. And the way we do it is to provide certain things for ourselves, which a lot of the times we are not ready or willing to do away with. That way we have not surrendered. Thank God it's been a long time since we sang that song. I surrender all. I surrender all. That's a song I don't like us to sing. Not because the song itself is bad or the song has any problem. The song doesn't have any problem. But a lot of people who sing that song are not sincere with what they are singing. A lot of us who sing I surrender all, we have not surrendered much to God, not to talk about all. A lot of us have too many things that we are holding so tightly to, and we are refusing to let go. But take note of the topic I am speaking on this morning. Give up in order to go up. If you don't give up, you won't go up. That is what it means. You know, I like to point out to us from time to time that Satan is not our problem. The moment you are born again, you have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Satan and the powers of darkness can only dominate people who are living in darkness. But you know that darkness could also mean ignorance. Or when you know something and you stubbornly refuse to do it, then you continue to suffer. If you don't give up certain things, then you will never go up. All of us must learn how to let go of certain things so that new things, fresh things can flow towards us. It's like if a river is stagnant, it becomes a lake. Because it is not giving out, it cannot also receive it. So if you want to purify a river, you open it up and let it begin to flow. So long as it's flowing out, then fresh water will come in. Some of you are listening to me this morning. Fresh ideas have not flowed into your life from God because you have not given out the ideas that God has given you. Newness, is it of life? Is it of health? Is it of inspiration? Is it of knowledge? Is it of anointing? Is it of power? Is it even in your finances? Newness have not attended to you because you have not given out the things that God has given you. If you give up those things this morning, then you will begin to go up. Giving is a major way to demonstrate our faith in God, that he will visit us to meet our needs, and that he will not abandon us or forsake us as he has promised. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I hope you know that that promise is valid for all times. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he should repent. If he has spoken it, then he will do it. If he has promised it, then he will perform it. But a lot of us, we lack that faith, that childlike faith, to take God at his word and to trust that he will do what he has said he will do. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it is not because God has given you something today, now you want to hold so tightly to it, as if I give it out, I will never have another. But the truth is, if you don't give it out, not giving it out is the reason why you are not going to have another. That is why the Bible says, he that is faithful in little shall be made master over much. In the parable of the unprofitable servant, he was given one talent and then he went and buried it. Those who used their own, they were giving more. The man that was given 5 gifts and then he used the 5, he was given 5 more. The one that was given 3 and he used the 3, he was given 3 more. It is double. But the one that was given 1 and refused to use it, even that one that he had was taken away from him. Instead of going up, he was going down. Let me ask you this morning, check your life. Another month is coming to an end today. Have you grown? Have you gone up? Have you made progress? Are you moving forward? Or you are stagnant? Or you are even retrogressing? I'm showing you from the word of God this morning, one of the major principles that govern this issue that we are looking at together this morning. If you give up, then you will go up. But if you hold so tightly to what you have been given, you continue to lose. Life in itself is like ice cube. The tighter you hold to an ice cube, the faster it is going to dissolve. So never hold too tightly to life, because it doesn't belong to you. So the major way we demonstrate our faith in God, that we believe that he will visit us, that he will not forsake us or leave us, as he has promised, is by giving. Without this type of faith for the future, giving becomes difficult, if not practically impossible. You will find it almost impossible to give. Once you cannot have the faith that if I give this thing away, God will give me another. Look at this handset. If God tells me to give it out, I may not know the plan he has for me. God just tells me, give out this handset. God who tells me to give it out, maybe he already has the plan to replace it, not just with this same handset, but to replace it with a better one. But usually what God will tell me is, give out your handset. It now depends on me whether I will listen to what he has told me, whether I will obey his command to me in giving out the handset or not. But see how we undo ourselves. God has instructed you and said, give out the handset. You say, ah, Lord, if I give it out, what will I use? I don't have another one now. You begin to argue with the Spirit of God. You begin to rationalize. You begin to justify. But the truth of our lives is, so long as you refuse to give out this handset, God will not give you the better one he wants to give you. In fact, in that process of dilly-dallying, God may decide to give another person that better handset that he had intended giving you originally. And then you will see that person with that gift from God and you become envious. You will not even know that that handset would have been given to you originally, but for your refusal to give up what God said you should give up. And there are so many things that a lot of us are holding so tightly to. God has blessed you in a little way, and that little blessing has become an idol in your life. And that little gift from God, that little blessing from God, is the major hindrance why a lot of lives are not getting better. And a lot of us are not moving beyond the level that we have always been, because you have cast your life in steel and you have said to yourself, that is where you want to be for the rest of your life. No. The Bible says to anybody who believes, all things are possible. And a man said, success is never ending. Failure is never final. So long as you believe, and so long as your heart can accommodate it, God is ready and prepared to add newness to your life virtually every day. God is ready and willing to add values, to add virtues, to add new things into your life every day. Because God never runs short of ideas. But if we are going to experience this type of visitation from God, then we must listen to Him. Whatever He tells you to give up, you must be ready, you must be willing to give it up. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, God just appeared to him one day. And He said, I want you to pack your load. I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to follow me. And maybe the man will have asked God, Lord, where? God said, follow me. That man followed God, not knowing where God was taking him to. But today, all of us are singing, Abraham's blessings are mine. We want to be like him. But if we want to be blessed like him, are we obeying God like that man did? Let me use another story, at least that all of us can relate to. I'm sure all of you know Pastor E.A. Adeboye. Imagine when that man was called by God. You know, he was a lecturer, and he was lecturing mathematics, one of the very, very difficult subjects to teach. One of the lecturers that are greatly in demand all over the world, a PhD holder. And God tells him, follow me. If that man had taught in himself, since the university system has the peak in life, the best he could be in that system is a vice chancellor. Today, is it not better? Is it not greater than a vice chancellor? And I hope you know that there is no vice chancellor that is there permanently. Vice chancellors have their terms. At most, 2 terms. And then you are removed. And then you can't be the VC again. And then you go back to the classroom and lecture. Today, I hear some Christians are beginning to pray, the God of Adeboye. The man is not dead, though. He's still alive. There is hardly any country he has not visited, preaching the gospel. But do you know that when that camp started, that man relocated to that camp, when that camp was a jungle, when there were no houses there, when all the structures there were just planks and iron roofing sheets, and most of his neighbors were reptiles and wild animals. You see, a lot of us are only looking for shortcuts. We love greatness, but we don't want to pay the price for greatness. Listen to me this morning. Some of you are holding tightly to certain things, but if you are not careful, you are going to forfeit the greatness that lies ahead of you in the future. You're a lecturer on campus, and so what? If you say that is the peak of your life, that is going to be the peak of your life. The Bible says, according to the confessions of your mouth, so shall it be unto you. You're a businessman, and so what? You are a manager at work, and so what? Let us be careful. Abraham, God said, I will not only bless you, I will make you a blessing. I will so much bless you that anybody who blesses you, I will bless him. For blessing you, I will bless him. Anybody who dares to cross you, for crossing you, I will cross him. He said, in you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Is it not true today? But the lesson we are learning this morning is, it started from giving up something. God said, leave your village, leave your village. If that village was the whole of his life, how can I leave my village? How can I leave my parents? How can I leave? How can I leave? How can I leave this? How can I leave that? A lot of you are saying, how can I leave? How can I leave? And all those things that you refuse to leave, they are the things that are militating against your life. They are the things that are holding you down. All those things that you are now finding difficult to leave, who gave them to you in the first place? Your family, who gave you your family? Your job, who gave you that job? Your money, who gave you that money? Whatever it is. Is there anything that you have that you have not received from God? And if that same God who gave you that thing is not asking you to give it up. The Bible says that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. A smart thinking person should begin to think that, if this same God who provided this thing is telling me to give it up, then he should have something better, something greater. But a lot of us We lack that faith to trust God that our tomorrow shall be greater and better and it shall be well. And because we lack that faith, we refuse to give up. You know, what human beings say is that a bird in hand is better than 100 in the bush. I hope you know that that statement can never be found in the Bible. So you now hold so tightly to the bird in hand. Too bad, too bad. And maybe God has 10,000 in stock for you. But because you refuse to let go of this one bird in your hand, and you keep saying to yourself, a bird in hand is better than 100 in the bush. Fine. No problem. You will live and die with that one bird. But please, let us listen to what God is saying to us this morning. Let us learn from Abraham. He gave up everything. He followed God sheepishly, without questioning God, without doubting God's wisdom, God's power, God's ability. That is faith. Faith gives. If you cannot give, then you lack faith. You don't have faith. I said without this type of faith for the future, giving becomes difficult, if not practically impossible. For us to give out what we presently have or possess, we must be able to trust that God will replace it or even give more. And this is where the challenge lies in giving. Most men don't have this type of faith. And that then explains the general attitude or tendency to amass, to hoard, and to withhold unnecessarily in order to make provision for the future. Look all around us. And it is important that you understand what I'm teaching this morning. Because we are all living in a bad environment. Nigeria is a bad environment. An environment where people, however rich they may be, in their mentality, they are poor and impoverished. An environment where, however rich people may become, they still feel insecure. And it is our feeling of insecurity that makes us to want to become materialistic. Sometimes you can even see it in youth. A lot of them go and find out how much is their salary. How much income are they making? Go and count the number of phones they are using. Some have three, some have four. It is materialism. You are going to be worse by the time you become a rich person. And that's why you find some rich people, they have six vehicles in their compound. What are they doing with them? Materialism. The tendency to want to amass and amass, because it is when you have all those things that you feel safe, that you feel secure. Such people can never trust God. You know, if somebody has just one vehicle, you know that that person will be praying, Lord, don't let this vehicle break down. You'll be looking up to God a lot of the times to maintain that vehicle. The maintenance of that vehicle will be a major prayer point. But check out the man that has five or six. And let's find out if within 1 year, if he has ever prayed about his vehicle. He won't. Because if number one is bad, he turns to number two. If number two is bad, he turns to number three. If number three is bad, he turns to number four. If number four is bad, he turns to number five. He keeps turning to his material possession without looking up to God. That is the problem of having so much riches. You will make your wealth your God. You won't look up to God anymore. So usually, that's why when God wants to help rich people, he will deal with all those riches and wealth that they are leaning on. He will remove those things suddenly so that they will be forced to look up to God for once, if only for once, and look up to God. David said, I will lift up my head unto the hills from where my help comes. My help comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. David understood what he was saying because he knew that being a king is just a privilege. It's not a right. For several years, King Saul chased him out of not just the palace, but out of the city, out of the nation, and even pursued him into the wilderness and was seeking to kill him. Later, even when Saul died and David was made the king, afterwards, his own son chased him out of the throne and the palace. So David knew that being a king was just a matter of privilege. It's a privilege. Whatever you have in life is a privilege. Look around you and you will see millions of others who don't have those things. It's not because you are better than them. Oh. It's not because you are stronger. It's not because you are more intelligent than them. It's just the grace and the mercy of God. So if God has now showed you mercy and given you those things, should you now belittle that same God and turn to those things he has given you to idolize them as if those things have become God in your life? A lot of us, we have allowed our money to become our gods. We have allowed our jobs to become our gods. We have allowed our marriages to become our gods. We have allowed our children to become our gods. But none of these things should be an idol to you, because all those things are from God. And there is none of them, absolutely none of them, that God cannot take away from us if he decides to take them away from us. So if you don't even have the means or the power to hold on to those things, why are you pretending as if you can keep them away from God in the first place? Give up to go up. Please say to your neighbor this morning, give up to go up. Don't hold tightly to anything. If you hold tightly to anything, then you are going to lose out. That's why people want to amass and amass, acquire and acquire. Sometimes when I get to know, when I stumble on reports and news about how some of our leaders in this nation are having properties all over the place, I begin to wonder, is this not madness? Somebody has 10 houses. For what? And sometimes journalists will go and take the pictures of some of their mansions and come and show us. Christians must never emulate such people. Unfortunately, now there are many Christians who are following in their footsteps. But listen to how Jesus dealt with that young rich ruler. Go and sell everything. Sell everything. Give the money to the poor and then come and follow me. That is when we will know that you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ. That is why we know that truly you are a born-again Christian. But there are too many born-again Christians in congregations everywhere. They are serving money. They are not serving God. Let us be careful. The only hindrance to giving, therefore, is fear. While the propelling force to giving is faith. But as Christians, we have no choice really but to learn to live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38 says, the just shall live by faith. And I discovered that that same statement is repeated severally in the Bible. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, you will find it there. Romans chapter 1 verse 17, you will find it there. Galatians chapter 3 verse 11, you will find it there. The just shall live by faith. If you want to put it in contemporary terms, we will say the believer shall live by faith. The Christian shall live by faith. The child of God shall live by faith. The disciple of Jesus Christ shall live by faith. Now, you have violated that scripture. The moment you are now depending on your job, you are depending on your family, you are depending on your money, you are depending on your parents, you are depending on your children, you are depending on any of those things, and you are not looking up to God. You are no longer living by faith. But the Bible says, if you are one of the just of God, then you must learn to live by faith. And stop trusting earthly material wealth. All givers in the Bible were people of faith who overcame their fears and trusted God to provide for them in the future. We have looked at the life of Abraham. If Abraham did not overcome his fear of what he was going to lose, he would never have followed God. You remember that that was the problem of Lot's wife. She couldn't leave behind all her gold, all her jewelry. Your tomorrow is in the hands of God. The Bible says it is not given to any man to direct his own steps. You think you are intelligent? Where were you born? God is the eternal God. Jehovah is his name. A lot of us don't understand giving. We are only being religious. Many of us are yet to be godly. Until the church starts to deal with these issues, we will just be religious and be going around in circles. It will not add any value to our nation. A lot of us are still so selfish, so self-centered. And that is why tribalism is a major problem in this country. By the time you finish with your family, then you begin to think about your tribe. Other people from other tribes, whatever happens to them doesn't concern you. Selfishness. Abraham was the father of all nations. A man of God once prayed. He said, Lord, give me such a large heart to accommodate all men, irrespective of color, sex, age, or whatever. And that's why some of you still come here. You are here now. This evening, you will go for a town meeting. Was it you who decided where you were born? So God has committed an offense for allowing you to be born in that village. So that village must remote control your life until you die. And because you keep holding to such wrong values in life, that is why you are not becoming international. Look at Africa. How many multinational companies do we have here? Even if you make a black man to become the CEO of a multinational company, let him run it for 10 years. That business will go distressed. Why? Because he will be bringing his tribesmen. He begin to bring his family members. That is the way we think. So selfish. So self-centered. Some of you can still not think beyond your family. You can still not think beyond your tribe. Talk less of thinking beyond your nation. And if you cannot think beyond that level, you can't ever rise beyond that level. You continue to be the family head and your village head. Local champion. Wow! Give up to go up. You want to go up? Give up. If you give up, you will go up. But if you continue to hold on so tightly onto those mundane, carnal, ungodly traits, your life will not go beyond a particular level. See the ceiling fan, see the wall clock, see the phone, see the iPad. Do you know who invented them? Those people were not thinking of their families. They were not thinking about their tribes. They were not even thinking about their nation. They were thinking about the whole world. Change your paradigm. Change the way you think. Stop thinking like a local person. Think global. Think international. Give up to go up. If you give up, you will go up. But if you don't give up, na so so sit down, you go sit down. No. No say na witch, yo. No be winch, they do yo. Na foolishness. I've had too much talk about witches and wizards in this country. And every I say, where are the witches? He said, where are they? I only see them in home video. None has ever come out and come and face us, koro koro, and say, I'll be witch. I say, you. It is foolishness that is our problem. Let's deal with foolishness and leave the witches and wizards alone. When King Saul faced the witch, it was the witch that was afraid of him. Go and read the story. King Saul was not afraid of the witch. It's only in Africa that people are afraid of their shadows. And that's why we are not progressing. Come on, wake up. Abraham thought beyond himself, thought beyond his village, thought beyond his family. He started to think global. There is no race in the world now that does not associate with Abraham. None. Solomon was so rich. David was so rich. They were not thinking that they were going to live on their children in old age. That thought in itself has defeated your life. You will never aspire to be great because you are already thinking when you are retired and you are old, it's your children that will feed you. Look at the widow of Zarephath. All she had was her last meal. She didn't have anything else. If that woman didn't have faith, she would never give it. She would never give it. But come to think of every time I read that story, I say, ah, God help this woman. Oh, what if she had made the mistake of not giving that meal that day? Her decision would have been like committing suicide. And a lot of us that are suffering, that is our situation. I've not eaten. I don't have this. I don't have that. Let's scrutinize your life very well. Let's check your history. Somewhere along the line, you are supposed to give up something. You refuse to give it up. Now, what you are holding on to has dried up. And that's why you now run to church. A lot of the time, people come to church, hey, Pastor, although I'm coming for the first time today, I have this. I said, where have you been all this while? It is not when you run to trouble that you remember church. It is not when you are in trouble that you remember God. Solomon said, remember thy creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. God came to this woman. This food on your table, now, give it up. If she refused to give it up, herself and her son will die. And a lot of us are dying. Dying spiritually, dying in our finances, dying in our vocations, dying in so many areas. Because we refuse to give up. The little thing we are holding on to is shrinking. Continues to shrink. Continues to shrink. And yet we have not woken up. Some of you, your life is shrinking because you have refused to enlist yourself in service in church. You want God to work for you. When you refuse to work for God, So who is the master? You or God? Bro, why have you not seen you in church? Is this my job? Is this my job? Is this my job? How much is your income from that job? That job that has not allowed you to come to church. And yet you say, is this my job? Is this my job? And your income continues to shrink. And you have not come to your senses and say, what am I doing wrong? Is it because I have not respected God as much as I should? Examine your ways. Check your life. Check the way you are treating God. Check the way you are treating the work of God. And some of you, things are still going on fine. Don't wait until your river dries up before you know that you need to wake up. If you treat God dishonorably, he will treat you dishonorably. If you give God honor, he will give you honor. That's the way it works. If that woman had refused to surrender that meal, she's undoing herself. Giving Elijah that food does not add anything to God. If she didn't give it, God will use another person. Another person will give more than she will have given. But she will be the one that will suffer. Elisha, when Elijah called him, that day was the end of his vocation as a husbandman. The Bible says he killed all the oxen and used the yoke to roast them and followed him. If the church says, now, okay, we want pastors and the pay is 1.5 million per month, you see everybody will rush in. We find it difficult to trust God. Elisha was not like that. Elisha was a successful businessman. But the day he received the call, he went away with it. That is what it means to live by faith. You don't ask your God, what am I going to eat tomorrow? You read the account of how those people were feeding. There was even a time when somebody went to bring the one poisonous god and cooked it for all of them, the sons of the prophets. And they said, alas, alas, my master, there is poison in this food. And then the servant of the Lord prayed, and it was healed. You will eat the poison. Even if the pastor prayed, you will land in the hospital. Because that is where you are supposed to spend that money. There was a time they said, Oga, this place where we are staying is too small for us. Let's go to the forest and cut wood and build a bigger place. He said, okay. And they went. As they were felling trees, the axe head fell into the water. And he said, Oga, what are we going to do? We borrowed it. They were not rich enough to buy an axe. Listen, if you want miracle, we must depend on God. But this one that all of us are depending on our families, depending on our jobs, depending on our money. No miracles, oh. You have what you are depending on already. Alas, Oga, we borrowed it, oh. They say, don't worry. Then he just cast a stick, and the axe head floated. That is the way God honors those who serve him. You may not be fantastically rich, but you always have what you need. Because his name is Jehovah Jireh. But those of you find it difficult to trust him, oh my God, and you look so much to your job, you want to count your blessings in cash, fine, no problem. Look at Peter. He was fishing. He didn't catch any fish through the night. He was washing his net in the morning. Jesus Christ showed up. Peter, can I use your boat? All right, sir. Okay, can you launch into the deep away from the shore and let me talk to these people? Jesus used his boat when he finished preaching. Now said, Peter, launch into the deep for a drought. Peter said, oh God, we've been fishing through the night. We didn't catch anything. Anyway, at your word, I'll give it a try. And then he cast in his net. That day, Peter caught the greatest amount of fish. The Bible says he caught so much fish that his net started to break. And he had to call all his neighbors. If it were to be some of us, your business will grow from limited liability company to PLC that day. But read that story. It was that day Peter gave up his fishing profession and followed Christ. He gave it up. I don't know what he did with that much fish. Whether he sold them or he gave them out. But Peter gave up fishing that day. Hallelujah. Now look at Peter today. Even when we read about him in history, I hope you know that it was unto Peter that Jesus committed the church. Peter was the first pastor in the church of Jesus Christ. Peter was the man that spoke on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls were won. At the beautiful gate again, he spoke and 5,000 people were won. The first pastor ever of the church of Jesus Christ. But if Peter had not given up his fishing career, the day Jesus Christ showed up,
you will never know that there was something greater than fishing. Don't think where you are now is your last bus stop. If you say that's your last bus stop, it will be. But if you can see something greater, something better, the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what God has in store for his people. Look around the whole world. God moves from place to place. Sometimes it was Oral Roberts. Sometimes it was Billy Graham. Even here, sometimes it was Babalola. Sometimes it was Obadare, Kumuyi, now Adeboye. Do you know if you are supposed to be the next one? But if you are holding tightly to certain things and you refuse to let go, you could be forfeiting a glorious future ahead of you. Because you believe so much in the present that you lack faith for the future. Let's look at the other side of the coin. I say here, conversely, all bad givers in the Bible were anxious and worried people who could not overcome their fears and so lacked the faith to trust that God will provide for their future. Those are the people who are bad givers. They are so bound in the blessing of today, and they have forgotten that whatever you eat will finish. Listen to me. Life is dynamic. When I was a small boy, my father had a Grundig radiogram and another Grundig TV set. For God's sake, that thing was raining then. If you buy it, the whole compound will celebrate it. But if we dash you now, if we dash you now, will you take it? You say, Pastor, what do I do with this? A lot of things we are buying now, that's the way they will be in 20 years' time. That's the way they will be in 50 years' time. So never hold tightly to the present. Even the children you are saying you are building the house for, they will sell it because architecture will have moved. Architecture will have changed. Your children will move on. Don't think the things that you are buying now is what they are going to use. Life will have changed. Standards will have gone up. Give up so as to move up. Before, they say the sky is the limit. The sky is no longer the limit. The throne of God is the limit. And you can't even get that far. So please, let us give everything God wants us to give. And so empower ourselves to be able to move up into a better and greater tomorrow. But if we are holding so tightly to today, it will do us harm. Lots of injury. Look at Cain. That was his problem. He selected all the good ones, kept them to himself, and gave God the bad ones. Foolish man. At the end of it, after God punished him, of what use were those things that he kept for himself? Look at Gehazi. He couldn't let go of the wealth of Naaman. Some of you, the wealth of Naaman that you are pursuing is what is keeping you away from God and keeping you away from his blessings. Give up the wealth of Naaman and trust God. Look up to God. And let God lift you up in life. That man couldn't detach himself from the wealth of Naaman. And that's why some of you should be very, very careful. Those of you who say you want to travel abroad at all costs. Unbelievers will teach you to lie. They will forge fake documents for you. They will do all kinds of things. You will dabble into sin because you want to go and live abroad. You are looking at the wealth of Naaman. If it is the will of God for you to go abroad, God will make way for you. You will not have to cheat. You will not have to be lying. You will not have to be forging documents, doing all kinds of things. Go and look at most of those people who say they are going to help you to do it. Are they godly people? Are they children of God? There is no greener pasture outside of God. Ananias and Sapphira, what was their problem? It's the same issue. Lack of faith. They sold the property. The money sounded so big to them. And they couldn't give it to God. And so they kept back part of that. But Peter asked them, is this all the money? He said, yes, sir. How dare you? The reward they got was death. Let's be careful. Don't hold too tightly to anything. Give them up and let God lift you up. Usually, the general principle is, the more our faith, the more we shall be willing to give. But the more our fears, the more we shall withhold and find it difficult to give. Abraham demonstrated his faith in God through giving. We should do the same also. Many who want to be blessed like Abraham
don't want to give like him. The rich young ruler wanted to end up in Abraham's bosom like Lazarus, but he was not willing to give up like Abraham. He held so tightly to his earthly riches and lost out in the end. We must learn from him. You want to be blessed like Abraham, then give like Abraham. Don't behave like this rich young ruler. At the end of the day, he lost out. Again, giving also shows the level of our perceived indebtedness to God and the measure of our love for him. For example, David. David vowed, he said, I will never offer to God anything that doesn't cost me something. A lot of things the prophet does, God will say, do it so that you become an object lesson to the people. And that's why I show you my phone. But it's fairly used on eBay. I see so many youths, they want the latest. When they grow up, a lot of them will not be good givers. You see people suffering all over the place. You see poverty staring you in the face. And yet, in the midst of it, you want to make yanga. And that's why sometimes the criminals come and they gun the person down and then they bring down somebody. I'd rather go and buy a Tokumbo vehicle, even if I can afford it, and leave my in peace and not ride the brand new latest vehicle and then they shatter your life into pieces. So youth, learn now. Don't follow this craze of everything latest, everything new. Don't forget, the more of those things you have, the less you'll be able to give. Don't follow our bad people in government. They are the ones showing this bad example. Don't follow bad people. All these people in government. And we now have so many bad pastors who are parading west. Let us ask, how many people have they helped? Our riches in heaven is the number of lives we have touched. All these things we are vaunting, I am using whatever title you call it, there will be evidences against you in heaven. Those were the things you used the resources God gave you to do, and you never touched lives for him. Mary Magdalene, look at what she did. It was what she perceived she was indebted. We sing the song, what shall I say unto the Lord? All I have to say is thank you, Lord. You know, you look at God. How do I show appreciation? Some of you are not grateful to God. And that's why when you are successful, you want to arrogate it to yourself. You never see God as your source. If you ever saw God as your source, you will always be thinking, how can I show appreciation? Somebody said, what shall I render? What shall I render? You feel indebted. That woman was indebted to Christ. You know she was possessed, terribly possessed. 7 demons were cast out of her. And she kept thinking, how can I show appreciation? How can I be grateful to this Jesus? And that was when she thought of bringing that costly oil, broke the bottle, poured it at his feet. Even the disciples said, ah, what a waste. To them, it was a waste. Jesus said, no, it's not a waste. She was doing it for my burial. From today, begin to think what you are going to do to show appreciation to God. Imagine if suddenly you are struck with leprosy, your whole family members will run away from you. They will sack you at work. Your landlord will give you quick notice. Lepers are always sent to live in a colony outside the city. Let's think, brethren. Let's think. Let's think. Not even in this our age and dispensation, there are so many diseases all over the place. You get one like this, that's the end. This woman was thinking of her indebtedness to God. When we started this month till now, do you know how many people have died? Do you know all kinds of woes that have befallen people? If you think of all of this, you always be thinking of how indebted you are to God. And let's compare all of this with the rich fool. The rich fool who said, my soul, you have labored, you have brought up so much for yourself. Now sit down and begin to enjoy. He forgot God. He forgot God. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. That rich fool, he forgot the benefits of God. And God looked at him and said, you this man, today I'm going to deal with you. Tonight, you are going to die. And now tell me all these things you have labored and you are claiming you worked for them. Whose will they be? In conclusion, if giving is a major door to divine visitation and a means of laying up our treasures in heaven, it means that God cannot visit us without giving. And neither can we lay up treasures or have rewards in heaven without giving. And since giving demonstrates our love for God and requires faith, we must then pray constantly to God to increase our love and faith in order to be able to give freely and generously, and so have abundant rewards eventually in heaven, and also experience His divine visitation while here on earth. So you need love and faith to give. Love to be able to share with your brethren. Faith to believe that if I give this thing out, God will give me another one, if not a better one. Without love, you can't give to people. Without faith, you can't trust God for another. So you need both love and faith to give. In closing, the truth with God is that if we don't give up the present, God won't also give us the future. If we don't let go of our today, we can't ever have our tomorrow. Many, therefore, by failing to give as prescribed by God in His word, due to lack of faith, are shutting their doors of divine visitation. But my counsel to you this moment is, don't be one of them. Don't be one of those that will be shutting their doors of visitation from God because they refuse to give. Please bow down your head and let's pray. Today, try to think. Think about the time you were born. Think about your childhood. Think about the time you were in primary school. Think about the time you were in the secondary school. Think about all the stages of life that you have gone through up till now. Think about the goodness of God to you. God has been good to you. Remember some of your friends. Remember some of your colleagues. People you went to primary school with who are dead now. Remember people you went to secondary school with who are dead now. Remember some of them in your family who are dead now. Remember some of your neighbors who are dead now. Is it because you are better than them that you are still alive? And together let's take this song. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I will bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. God has done great things. He has done great things. You have done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Let us bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Let us bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. I will bless the Lord. He has done great things.
done great things. Blessed is holy name. Ba 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 oh Baba, oh Eshe oh Baba, Eshe oh Baba. Awa dupe Baba, Baba Baba oh Baba ye Baba, Baba wa Eshe oh Baba, Eshe oh. Eshe o Baba, awa dupe Baba, fwa nure la yewa o Baba, Baba, Eshe o Baba, Eshe o Luwa, Eshe o Baba, awa dupe Baba, fwa re la ye wa o Baba, Eshe o Baba, Eshe o Luwa, Eshe o Baba, awa dupe o Baba.
This afternoon I want every one of us to lift up our voice to appreciate the Lord. If you feel like singing, just go ahead and begin to sing. Think about your childhood. Think about the past through which God has taken you. Think about times when it was as if that was going to be the end of your life. It is the Lord who spared your life. It is the Lord who ransomed your soul. It is the Lord who forgave you. Brethren, there are still many people we went to school with them together. A lot of them are not yet born again. Talk less of understanding what God is doing in this dispensation. Brethren, let us thank God. There are mad people around. There are lunatics around. Let us appreciate the Lord. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate the Lord. Let us not take for granted His goodness. Let us not take for granted His grace. Let us not take for granted His blessings and His benefits in our lives. The Lord loves us. The Lord loves us. The Bible says, as the Father pities the Son, so the Lord pities His people. Every day, He wakes us up from our sleep. Every day, He shields us from the fiery darts of the wicked. Every day, He loads our lives with His benefit. Let us appreciate the Lord. Let us thank God for the grace that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. I want you to begin to pray for yourself, that as you appreciate the grace and goodness of God in your life, that nothing will become an idol in your life. Nothing that God has given you will become too big or too great to cast down at His feet. Even the angels in heaven, the 24 elders, the Bible says every time they fall down before the mighty throne of God, they cast down their golden crowns before Him, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." Let us receive the grace to give. Let us receive the faith to give. And say, "Lord, whatever you have given to me, oh Lord, I receive the grace to give them back to you. Help me to appreciate you, oh Lord. Lord, I am so indebted to you. Everything I am and all that I hope to become in life, I owe everything to you. When I was born, I came with nothing. All these things that you have surrounded me with, they are yours, O Lord. They are yours, O Lord. They are yours, O Lord. Whichever way I might have held any one of them away from you, Baba, I confess it as sin this afternoon. Please forgive me, O God. Let the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses from unrighteousness avail on my behalf to cleanse me, to wash me, to purify me, to purge me, O God. Let all of my life praise you. Let everything about me praise you. Let my spirit, my soul, my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet praise you. Let my money praise you. Let my talent praise you. Let my times praise you. Let my gift praise you. Let every material gift that you have given to me praise you, O God. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Lord, my life will praise you. I will praise you so long as I live. I will praise you so long as I have my breath in me, O God. O Lord, the thoughts of my heart will praise you. The words of my mouth will praise you. O God, the works of my hands will praise you. Oh God, every benefit you give me in life will praise you, oh God. Everywhere I go in life, I will praise you. I will lift up the name of Jesus. I will lift up the banner of righteousness high. Oh God, I will sing your praise. Everywhere I go, I will declare you to my generation.